light of the world is Jesus. Please take your Bibles out and turn with me to Acts, the 15th chapter, as we continue the study through this wonderful book, and we're to the 36th verse. Acts chapter 15, verse 36. Acts 15, 36. We find with the 35th verse that Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord for with many others also. And then verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, and being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God, he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them and the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Let's go to the Lord in prayer after his precious word. Father, thank you today that we can come, look to your word, find here that Paul and Barnabas had a disagreement about a young man. And we ask, Father, that you will show us your way and will through these scripture verses, that we may learn from them, come closer, be closer to you, be a good witness for you, preach your precious word, speak your precious word, bring people to the light, as that beautiful hymn has said, that we may shine, that folks will see the difference and ask for the difference and ask for the answer, which the answer is Jesus. Please speak to every heart today, Father, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As Paul and Barnabas was back in Antioch, and they had shared with all the folks everything that they had learned back in Jerusalem concerning the keeping of the Jewish law and the circumcision and all these things that they had discussed, they came back to Antioch and brought all that to the proper attention, which was that we do not have to follow the Gentiles, do not have to follow the laws of the Jews in order to be saved. We are saved by grace and by grace alone. The world today has been bringing on more and more of the laws and rules that we have to keep this and we need to do that in order for you to be saved. And others have just kind of come out with a universal salvation. And both are mistaken, both are wrong, and both are lying when it comes to the Word of God. And we need to stand upon the truth, the Word of God, and proclaim it very clearly, as Paul and Barnabas were doing. They were bringing the news back, and there were others with them that came back from Jerusalem back to Antioch to share the truths that were there, and that is we are saved and saved by grace and grace alone. No works were there. And we find here in the 36th verse that they had been there for a period of time. We are not told how long. We don't know whether it's weeks or a month or a few days, but I'm sure that it says some days, and so that's all we're told. We're not told exactly how much time that they had stayed there in Antioch, but they didn't just rest during that time, because that's the reason I wanted to read verse 35, because there, verse 35 says, Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch teaching and preaching the word of the Lord, as many others also. So it wasn't just them, but they continued always, even though they had had the establishment of the church in Antioch. There's still the need for the continual teaching, not only bringing the truth out about this situation with the circumcision, that was declared and taken care of as it should have been, but also they continued then in teaching them the Word of God. And it's a wonderful opportunity that each one of us have. But after a period of time, after the teaching there at home, there at Antioch, why, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren. Let's go see these churches that we've planted, and it wasn't a church building like this. It was just a small little group of believers that were saved. They were meeting in houses. They didn't have a building to come to meet, so they would come and meet in the houses. Many times they were meeting all on a daily basis as they would come together to share what word they had and being led by the Spirit of God to learn the Word of God. And Paul especially, but also Barnabas, was concerned about these young churches, these young folks that had just been saved, been born again. And he said, let's go visit them, that we may give them some instruction, that we may help them to grow, that we may take care of any problem that was there. Not only see had the word gotten back to Antioch that the Jews, Christian Jews, were trying to add in circumcision, but I'm sure that that got out into the other areas, because there were also many Jews at each one of these places where Paul would go. Remember, the first place he would go into the synagogue. And so they had to put a complete stop to this thought that you had to be circumcised. So I'm sure they wanted to bring that message forward. Plus, they wanted just to come by, visit them, and see that they're growing. And you know, when we have the opportunity to lead somebody to the Lord Jesus, it is our responsibility as a believer to help them to grow. Because you don't just lead them to Jesus and abandon them. You need to go back and pick them up and visit with them and show them the truth, because that old devil's out there ready to snatch them away and keep them out of the Word of God. And so I'm sure Paul and Barnabas was very concerned about that very fact to take place. So let's go and to our brethren in every city where we have preached the Word of the Lord, and let's see how they're doing. We want to go visit them. We want to see how they're doing and have fellowship with them and help them to grow. So after this period of time, that's what they wanted to do. The new converts, Paul had such a love for them, and he wanted them to grow and to be mature and be a good witness. And so all this was in his mind. So he was burdened about these churches and wanted the people to grow. Well, we come then to a conflict in verse 37. Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, there's a problem here, because John Mark went with them on the first missionary journey. And part of the way through at Perga in Pamphylia, John Mark was sent home. He wanted to go home. He was sent home. We're not sure what the problem is. When you've got a work to do, you don't have time to babysit. And I got a feeling that's what John Mark became, a problem. A problem to the point that they were spending more time trying to take care of him than getting out the message. And so he went home. Barnabas wanted to take him with him again to go back through these churches. Now, the scripture is very clear that John Mark was sent back to Jerusalem, back to his home in Jerusalem. And so did he come then with Paul and Barnabas and others from Jerusalem to Antioch? Must have. We're not told, because they're about to leave from Antioch to go check the rest of these churches in that area where they had planted these churches. And so undoubtedly, it must have been that he had come with them and traveled up to see them. Barnabas was determined. Why was Barnabas so determined? This was Barnabas's nephew. There was family here. Did he see something in John Mark that Paul didn't? Did he see something that a potential of a young man that was going to be a good witness if we give him one more chance? Whatever Barnabas saw, Paul didn't. Because Paul was bound and determined that he was not going again. So whatever happened must have been quite an incident, quite a situation that Paul was not willing to give him another opportunity. It was very clear. And there wasn't just a little bit of a problem here. Because in verse 38 here, Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work. And so what was the problem? John Mark was very young. He was away from home. Would he just get homesick? You know, did he just get tired of the living conditions that they were living under? Did he get tired of the persecution that was before him all the time? And he just couldn't take the weight of that? And he just, we're not sure. We're not told what has happened here. But we know that they sent him back home, and he did go back home to Jerusalem. So Paul said, we're not taking him. We're not going to take him. And then in verse 39, there is words here and strong words, and those words are the contention was so sharp between them. The contention was so sharp between them. It was words that the word contention here means provoke. So they were angry at each other. It wasn't just light words that, you know, Barnabas said, Paul, don't you think we need to take him, give him another chance? And there was strong words between these two godly men, two men that had been a part of such a great work as him and Paul went out, Paul and Barnabas went out to preach the word. There was such great results. And it seems so sad and so strange here that there's a conflict between them to the point that we know what happened. They parted ways. They parted ways. So somebody that was so close to them, so close to each other, walked side by side, did the work of Christ. And then all of a sudden here, there's a problem. There's a serious, serious problem. Was it Paul that was not willing to give him another chance? Paul was serious about the work. The time was short. We've got to get the gospel out. Paul said, we're not going to waste time with him anymore. It's kind of a one-chance deal with Paul. But Barnabas, was it because it was family? Said, we need to give him another chance. We're not sure the love that Barnabas had for John Mark that was lacking with Paul. We don't know. We do know the results, and we're going to study some of those things here in a few minutes, of what happened to John Mark. So, with this separation, the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas. This disagreement was so sharp between the two. It's so sad that two brothers would leave under kind of duress from each other, to not a desire to be with each other again. All over John Mark. Barnabas is not mentioned after this chapter in the book of Acts again. And so someone that was so strong, and yet it seems like we don't hear much from him, at least for the rest of the book of Acts. We're going to take a look at Barnabas. He was not someone that just served with... He didn't take his service lightly. Let's look back in Acts chapter 4, verse 37, to see what kind of a man Barnabas was. Acts chapter 4, verse 37. This is Barnabas. Having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. He gave up everything to serve the Lord. He gave up everything to serve the Lord, and he went with Paul to begin these, to plant these churches. That's the man Barnabas is. It just breaks your heart to think that these two men have departed now and parted their ways. Thankful, neither left this problem. They did not allow it, I don't believe, to take away from the presentation of the gospel. Because we know that even though Barnabas is not spoken of in the rest of the book of Acts, yet he undoubtedly had quite an effect upon John Mark for the results that come from it. So as this fight went on, who was right? Well, was Paul right or was Barnabas right? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. This isn't Barnabas, this is Paul. Look at what Paul says here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Look at that. So whatever happened, Paul got over it, and Barnabas must have done a pretty good job at raising him and strengthening him and growing him up for Paul to say, please, would you bring him? Because he is profitable for me. What does it mean to be profitable? Are we profitable when it comes to our service with the Lord Jesus? When someone, and as God has brought this fellowship together, are we profitable for each other? Do we lift each other up and support each other? What made John Mark profitable for Paul? It was important enough that he sure wanted to see him. And he wanted him there because he was of great value. So we need to think about those words, that we need to be valuable not only to our Lord and Savior, but we need to be of value for each other. And I believe that when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and are born again, and then we become a family, and we are to support and lift up and build up our family. And so I thought when I was studying this and looking at this, what wonderful words that came out of Paul's mouth after he was so dead certain that I don't want to see him anymore. I don't want him around me because he's a handicap. He slows me down. I don't want him. And now he said, would you bring him? Because he is profitable for me. And so no matter what happens from time to time between brothers and sisters in Christ, Paul has forgiven it, and he has recognized the value of John Mark. And he wants him to come and wants him to help him in the ministry. And so we need to do the same with each other. Are we a help? Are we a support? Is it someone that you would say those words as we look at that? Is that something that comes and can speak? He is profitable for me in the ministry. We should all be able to say those words about each other, picking each other up, growing each other. Are we profitable? Are we of value unto each other and unto the Lord? Are we profitable? So we find in verse 39 that this contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder and one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. Cyprus was actually the original home of Barnabas. And so did he just go home? Is that the reason we didn't hear much from him? Instead of him going back out on the mission field to visit some of these churches, it appears that he went back home, which there was a work in Cyprus as well. And so did he went back home, he took John Mark with him. Did he do that for the purpose of giving John Mark a little more time to grow up and to establish him and grow him in the Word of God, that when he goes back out into the field, that he is stronger and prepared for the work that's there? We're not sure. But we do know that's where that the Scripture says that he went. And then Paul chose Silas. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Now, Silas, where'd Silas come from? Well, if we would go back and look at chapter 15, verse 22, and we find that then pleased it the apostles and the elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief among the brethren, chief men among the brethren. And so that's where Silas came from. Silas came from Jerusalem, traveled with Paul and Barnabas back to Antioch to not only show that it was Paul and Barnabas saying that circumcision and the law is no longer required for salvation and is saved by grace, but also there's going to be brethren that is well known come with us, and Silas was one of them. And so in this period of time that Paul and Silas was Paul and Barnabas was at Antioch, I believe that Paul got to know Silas. And so whenever the division was taken and the problem arise with Barnabas and Paul, that Paul knew he was going to choose. He chose Silas. Silas, you'll travel with me. And so we find him there. And then verse 25 of that same chapter 15 of speaks, and it seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. That was Silas and others. And so that's where he has come from. And it says that he's chief among the brethren. So we find that they travel then. They seek the will of God, I believe, and Paul and Silas head off for the mission field to check on these churches through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So they were taking their time learning and enjoying the churches. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra. This is Paul and Silas. Came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, And we went back to one of the books that was named Timothy, as Paul had written the second book to Timothy. And so here is this young man. We know some about this young man. We know that his mother was a Jew and his father was Greek. We know that the influence of his mother and his grandmother brought salvation into the heart of this young man and grew this young man up to be someone that was, even though of his youth, he was so well respected among those in the area of Derbe and Lystra. He was very well known, looked very highly upon as a believer in Jesus Christ. This came from the influence and the teaching of his mother and his grandmother. There is nothing to tell us that the father was saved. He was not saved. And so all the influence, and praise the Lord that he paid attention to his mother and his grandmother and not to his father. His father was Greek, his father could be saved. Salvation went out to the Gentiles. He could have been saved. He could have come by faith to the Lord Jesus. But there is no evidence in the Scripture that tells us that that ever took place. But we do praise the Lord for Mom and Grandma as they brought the Word of God to those children, to this young child, and raised him up. We're going to go back once again to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. This is Paul. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwell first in thy grandmother Lois, and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Where did it come from? That unfeigned faith. What a joy. So don't think for a second that if there is a problem in your family with one is saved and the other is not, you need to bring that influence. Don't let that child be raised up making their choice. You bring them to the saving knowledge and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you leave it up to them, the world will win every time. The world will win every time. We must proclaim with all the love and strength we have the joy and the love and the saving power of Jesus Christ to our children and to our grandchildren and to our great-grandchildren, that they will hear the gospel, because if we don't tell them, they're not going to hear it. And if they don't hear it, they're not going to be saved, and they're going to die and burn in hell. And we need to be the one to change that. And look at this young man, Timothy. As you look at his life and the lives that he touched and changed and the responsibility he was given, and it all came because of a mother and a grandmother that had enough love and care for him that I am not going to let this young man grow up as his father. I'm going to let this young man grow up knowing Jesus Christ as his Savior and praise the Lord for him. And that's where we enjoy. Now look at chapter 3, verse 15 in 2 Timothy. Chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Where are you going to get such great instruction except by the Word of God? How are they going to get the Word of God? We must proclaim it to them. Yes, they're going to have a choice. Timothy had a choice. But I believe Grandma and Mom and Grandma started so young with him started telling him about the Lord Jesus, telling him about his saving power. And it wasn't just words that came from their mouth. It was a witness that came from mom and from grandmother as well. It was the witness, the testimony. We know, and if you'll go back with me to the book of Ezra, it's in here somewhere. There we are. Ezra chapter 9, verse 12. Instructions was given after they returned out of captivity, because when they returned from captivity, there was many folks that had lived in the area of Jerusalem. And when they were rebuilding the walls and rebuilding the temple, there was much influence of the world around. And so it was easy for the men or the women to look out past the four walls of Jerusalem and become involved with one of the world, one of the tribes. And so the Lord had spoken this and had given this to Ezra in chapter 9, verse 12. Now therefore give not your daughters unto their sons, neither take their daughters unto your sons, nor seek their peace or their wealth forever, that ye may be strong and eat the good of the land and leave it for an inheritance to your children forever. And so the point is, stay away from them. Stay away from the intermarriage of these other tribes and other peoples that are present. And when you come and you have that influence, and we know that Solomon himself, we covered this a little bit with Malachi this morning on the radio, that Solomon, it was customary that the other lands, they would bring their children, their daughters, and they would give their daughter unto Solomon as a wife, but that daughter would have her own religion. And instead of Solomon bringing them to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, he bowed down to their religions, and he would begin to build, and did build many a church, so to speak, a place of worship, to worship this foreign god. It started there. But in the end of Solomon's day, Solomon was there worshiping with them. And so even Solomon, in all his wisdom, was deceived. And God knew that these people would be deceived and tricked if they were unequally yoked between the tribes. And so the warning went out. This law, at this time, had been disregarded. And that's the reason that we have this Jewish woman and this Greek man that was married that gave birth to Timothy. It was because they had so long disregarded the word of God and the will of God. And so all of a sudden now, this child was raised in a divided family. And we need to see that we don't allow our children to be raised in a divided family. But both are saved, born again. Bring that child up knowing and loving Jesus Christ as their Savior. So this man, Timothy, look at just a little bit of testimony and then we'll close for the day. Verse 2, in chapter 16 of Acts, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in their quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. Now, it's going to take a little bit of time to explain, considering Paul and Barnabas has just come back from Jerusalem and decide that circumcision wasn't necessary for salvation, and then he turns around, takes Timothy out, and has him circumcised. We're going to talk about that next week. We'll start there. And that'll be 2 weeks. Kenny, you get next week. And so it'll be 2 weeks. We're heading for Mayo's, and so keep us in prayer next week. But and so you'll have to wait unless, Kenny, you want to pick up from there. You're welcome to. Always good to enjoy the Word of God. And, you know, so much to look at John Mark and look at Timothy and look at Paul and look at Barnabas. And now we got Silas into the picture. It's just a joy to look at these men of God and watch as they go out to further the gospel and bring people to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that we can come and just enjoy it to study the Word of God, to proclaim the Word of God. It's such a privilege, such a joy. I thank you for your strength and for your wisdom. And please that you would just take your precious word and go out and touch our hearts, that we will be useful, that we will be able to help folks, and they will feel like they can depend upon us. So please, dear Lord, just touch our hearts. Empower us with your strength and your wisdom and your peace. Only a believer can possess that. Only a believer has the opportunity, because the Spirit of God is the only one that can bring that power into us. And so first be born again. And then take time to search this precious word and grow and learn more about our Savior and more about His will and way for us. Speak to hearts now, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.